Okay. How are you this evening? Hopefully you've had a great week. Ready to get into the Bible study tonight? Say it every week. If you don't have your Bible, go get it. We'll wait. You can't have a Bible study without having your Bible. It's been an interesting week weather-wise. Was sleeting and freezing rain on Sunday, and then Monday it was in the 40s, high 40s, 50 in some spots. I always thought weather in Michigan was weird, but Indiana's right there with the rest of them. So tonight, we're going to be in Luke 19 still. Remember last week we talked about Zacchaeus, the wee little man. And at the end of Zacchaeus' story, Zacchaeus said, "I give, O Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." We discussed the fact that was much more than what the law required of him. And in verse 9, Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So tonight we're picking up in verse 11, reading 11 through 14. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable." Now, hey, let me give you a little more background here. Jesus is talking to the disciples, the 12 apostles, all the people who were going through Jericho with him. Remember, there was a huge crowd. And to them, this is right after he finished, "and as they heard these things that he just said, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Let's look at what the disciples thought. The disciples thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They thought they were on the way to Jerusalem and Christ was going to set up his kingdom. Now, why they thought this, I have no idea. Because he's told them several times, and he told them just previously, we covered it 2 or 3 weeks ago, he told them he was going to Jerusalem, he would be turned over to the Gentiles, and he would be crucified. And then on the third day, he would rise. So why they thought that he was going to go establish his kingdom when he got to Jerusalem, beyond me. And maybe if I had been there, if I had been one of those 12, I would have thought the same thing. But then he starts into a parable. And the thing we have to understand, because when you first read this, you go, oh yeah, he's told this parable before. Well, no, he hasn't. He's told the parable of the talents, which actually he tells after this point, because he tells that during the Olivet Discourse. You read about it in Matthew 25, 14 to 30. And there's significant differences. You know, you can't look at this and go, well, this is the same parable, but Luke's just got it in a different order. As I said, he told the parable of the talents during his Mount Olivet Discourse. This one he told on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. In the Olivet Discourse, the amounts are much larger, and they vary in size, testing each servant for their fitness for larger tasks. Here, the amounts are small. They're the same for everybody. And what he teaches in this parable is that everybody has a particular task. And that task is to serve God faithfully. So, in verse 11, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom in return. Now, unless you understand history, that won't make much sense. But kings in Roman provinces like Galilee and Perea actually went to Rome to receive their title and to receive their kingdom. The entire Herodian dynasty was dependent on Rome for their ruling power. Herod the Great himself had gone to Rome to be given his kingdom. Now, when Herod died, he left his kingdom to his kids, and he left a third of it to each kid. Hence, they're called tetrarchs, not kings. And what Jesus is saying here is that he would soon depart to receive his kingdom and one day return to rule over it. So he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Now, he's got 10 pounds, he's got 10 servants. So each servant got 1 pound. Now a pound, same as a mina, it's slightly more than 3 months' salary. The mina was a 60th of a talent, meaning that the 10 servants were given a huge sum, but it was much smaller compared to the 3 servants in his parable of the talents that he told later. These servants were given 1 mina. They were given 1/60th of a talent. About 100 drachma. If you're into that sort of thing. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. History. When Archelaus, Herod's son, went to Rome to be made tetrarch of Judah, or Judea, what do you suppose happened? A delegation of Jews traveled to Rome with a protest to Caesar Augustus saying, we don't want this guy to be over us because he was a terrible person. Now, obviously, didn't make any difference. Archelaus was made king. Tetrarch, anyhow. Subsequently, he built his palace in Jericho. So, remember, Jesus is in Jericho. So all the people, the townspeople, could totally relate to what Jesus was talking about. And here's the interesting part. Archelaus' rule was so inept and despotic that Rome rapidly replaced him with somebody else. And in fact, here they replaced him with a slew of people. Between Archelaus becoming the tetrarch and Pontius Pilate, whom Jesus went before, there were 5 other tetrarchs in place. So they didn't last very long because Rome would not put up with despots with people who caused problems. Rome wanted their provinces peaceful. And if you didn't keep it peaceful and collect the taxes, then they'd replace you with somebody that would. If you remember, when we get to that point, but you've heard the story of numerous times, one of the reasons Pontius Pilate was so willing to crucify Jesus was because he was afraid of the Jews causing an uprising. He wanted to hang on to his job. But the interesting part is by telling this parable, Jesus is warning that the Jews were about to do the same things in a spiritual sense to their Messiah. So, verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received his kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, I skipped over back up in 14 or 13. He said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy, in this case, means do business. It's not occupy like we're used to the word occupy. They were to do business and build a return for his money. So it came to pass that when he had returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Good return. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. It's good to be the king. You can say, okay, you're my servant, but I'm going to put you in charge of 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, he that be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid down, laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then, gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? Okay, you know, I'm a pretty austere guy. I, you know, kind of a cheat, but you could at least put it in the bank so I could have got interest on it. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. So, what are we looking at here? Back to verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, picture of Christ returning to earth, full manifestation of God's kingdom on earth waits for that time. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Now two of the servants did well, and they were rewarded with further opportunities. He was a servant, He turned the pound into 10 pounds. He was rewarded with 10 cities to rule over. Much more opportunities. His opportunity for service was in proportion to the service he had already provided. And notice both of them were modest in that they said, your pound has made. It wasn't, I made this, you know, it was like, your pound has made X amount. Your pound has made 10, your pound has made 5. So what happened? They had much more responsibility given to them because they had shown that they could take what their Lord had given them and use it responsibly and use it for his betterment. Verse 17, he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Those of us who have relatively small gifts, because we all have gifts from the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you have gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have skills in one way or another. You know, we all have a skill that the Holy Spirit has given us. And those of us with small skills and small gifts have just as large a responsibility to use them faithfully as those who are given much more. Some people are given the gift of teaching. Some are given the gift of preaching. Kind of same thing. Some are given administrative gifts. Some are given caring gifts, hospitality gifts. We all have some kind of gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we may look at some of them as being small gifts versus big gifts, but no matter what our gift is, we have a responsibility to use it for God's glory. Look at the first servant. He was able to turn the 1 pound into 10 pounds. So how was he rewarded? He was given 10 cities. That's immensely bigger reward than the 10 pounds warranted. But he started with one. The other servant started with one. Third servant started with one. He used his gift to do much more than the second servant. He accomplished twice as much for his master as the second servant did. Now, the second servant did good. I mean, we don't know how long this guy was gone, but 500% return, 1,000% return for the guy that tucked it away and just took that and hid it. Why did he hide it? I feared thee. Now, this is not a fear like we fear God, that we're not scared of God. You know, we fear God. We love him. We want to do what's right for him, by him. You know, it's not an, oh, I'm scared fear. This guy had an, oh, I'm scared fear. No love, no reverence for his master. In fact, he's almost contemptuous of him. had he any real regard for his master? A righteous fear would have provoked him to diligence rather than sloth. Because, I mean, that's all it was slothful. You know, he took it, hid it away. Okay, don't worry about that. His fear kept him from doing anything. Even though he knew his master expected much. Excuse me. Now, what's interesting about this is there's nothing said about the other seven. Remember, he had 10 servants and he gave them 10 pounds, pound apiece? What happened to the other seven? No idea. Now, the thing about this parable is it's dealing with two classes of people. It's dealing with those who work and those who don't. You have some people who do what's right. You have some people who do nothing. So the servant is scared of his master. So he doesn't do anything. So what's the master say? In verse 22. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. You knew that I was wicked. You knew that I reaped where I didn't sow. You knew that I took up that which I had not laid down. Now, doesn't necessarily suggest that what the man knew about the master was true. But even the knowledge that he claimed to have was enough to condemn him. And that's the way it'll be for those on the day of judgment. Punishment for not using what you have is to lose it. Those who have spiritual opportunities find more. Those who use their spiritual opportunities find more. Those who do nothing about it wind up losing the abilities that they have. Remember, if you are saved, if you are a blood-bought, born-again Christian and have the Holy Spirit in you, you have abilities that the Spirit has given you. And if you ignore those abilities and you don't use them for God's glory, then at some point you're going to lose them. That's just the way it is. Verse 24. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. In other words, well, he's already got a lot. Why are you giving him more? And the Lord said, verse 26, I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. People who receive divine grace inherit immeasurable blessings. In addition to eternal life, and the favor of God. You know, being saved is not just a get out of hell card. Not only are you given eternal life with God, but you are given favor in God's eyes, and you are given abilities and skills to use here while you're on this planet. Those who despise God's riches and his forbearance and his long suffering, burying them in the ground, clinging instead to the paltry, transient goods of this world, the new car, the new house, the fancy clothes, you know, going out to dinner all the time, they're ultimately going to lose it all. There's an old saying, and I'll try not to mess this up. That for the Christian, this world is the only heaven or the only hell they will ever know. And for the lost, this world is the only heaven they will ever know. As a Christian, no matter what this world throws at you, you've got a better life coming. If you're not a Christian, this is as good as it gets. And if you look around at the world around us, everything is just, even in this country, you know, everything that's going on with, you know, the races and politics and, you know, all the hate towards conservatives by liberals and by conservatives. If you are not saved, this is the best there is for you. So, everyone who has shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. In verse 27, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So, all those guys that don't want me, all those people that were opposed to me being the king, bring them up here. And in fact, we're going to go to Ken Wuth. I was reading this morning as I prepared. You all know Ken Wuth. If you've been following me, he does he did the expanded translation of the New Testament. It's much more accurate to the Greek to make help us better understand what they were saying. And on this, he wrote, but these enemies of mine, which did not desire that I reign as king over them, bring here at once and slaughter them before me by slashing their throats. King James didn't include how he's going to slaughter them, but slashing their throats. Bring them up here. Cut their throats. Kill them all. Every one of them. So what's Jesus talking about there? Jesus is talking about the Jews of his day. Those who opposed him. Those who rejected him as Messiah. Those who, especially the Pharisees, scribes, you know, who did everything they could and in a very short time, less than a month, would take him and have him crucified. These enemies of his, he will come back as the king, and they will all suffer and die. And it's kind of, most of the commentators I read in preparing for this week say that it's very easily considered that he was talking about the Jews of Jerusalem and the coming destruction of the city. You know, this is around 30 to 34. And in 70, the Romans finally got fed up with Judea. And they came in and totally destroyed Jerusalem. Not a stone was standing. The temple, they melted all the gold on the walls, carried it off. Those were the people who were fighting against Jesus. Those are the people who rejected their Messiah because they would have had to give up too much to admit that he was the Messiah, that he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They were afraid that they were going to lose their positions, all their greatness, that people were, you know, they were important people, and they didn't want to lose that. And that's exactly the way people still are today. Remember when Jesus said just a few weeks ago that it's harder for a rich man, it's harder for a camel to enter through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter heaven? We got a lot of those in this day and age. People who are more concerned about having their best life now, living the good life, that they don't want to hear anything about the riches that awaits a Christian in heaven. And I hope that if you're watching this and you're not saved, that you've never repented of your sin, turned your life around, turned it over to Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because the thing you have to understand is Jesus is Lord. Whether you want him to be or not, he is the Lord. The big question is he your Savior? That's something you have to decide. That you have to look in your heart and say, you know, I've been kind of playing church. I've been going every Sunday, well, maybe not every Sunday, because some Sundays, you know, I like to sleep in. But I go to church, so doesn't that make me a Christian? Or, you know, I give to charity. You know, I'm a nice guy. I'm a good person. I never killed anybody. I won't cut it. Until you recognize your sinfulness and you turn to the Lord and repent of that sin, you're as lost as the worst person out there. You really need to think about it, because we don't know when the end's going to get here. You could drop dead tonight. I could drop dead tonight. Jesus could come back tonight. We don't know. You know, we make plans. I'm going to go do this tomorrow, or I'm going to go do that. You know, that's up to God. You know, He might give you a breath tomorrow morning, and then again, he might not. So you really need to be sure tonight where you stand with him. So think about that. Consider the fact that you're a wretched sinner, just like me. The only difference between you and me, if you're not saved, is that I know if I drop dead tonight, I'm going to open my eyes in heaven. And you should know, if you're not saved, you drop dead tonight, you're going to open your eyes in hell. And I'd really hate to see that happen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this Bible study. God, I thank you for those who are watching it, those who will watch it down the road. And God, I pray that you would use these words to touch people. God, for those who are still lost, God, that you would draw them to you. God, I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Have a great week. This will be up on Facebook on Wednesday, tomorrow. We've been experimenting with this using YouTube. Next week, I will be back to doing our Bible study on Wednesday night, live on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook, it's a recording, as you probably already know. So hopefully, have a wonderful week. I will see you next week, Sunday, Facebook Live, 10:30 in the morning. We're continuing our work through the book of Job. We are on Job 17 this week, so you can read up ahead of time. And join us if you would. You know, you can join us live, join us on Facebook Live. If you want to show up early, 9:30, we have Sunday school. We're going through the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. Last week, we started the section on free will. Very interesting, and we'll probably finish it off this week. So if you'd like to join us for that, glad to have you. But for now, go serve your king.